I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop. Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways.
So, the former Louis Vuitton Don, Kanye West, has been ranting and raving all week on Twitter about masters. Kanye wants to own his masters. It's a story as old as time when it comes to music, an artist wanting to own their masters and own their music. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Kanye saying, hey, I feel like the deal that I'm in is not fair. I want to own the music that I made. Kanye started tweeting out, which I don't know why he didn't learn what a PDF is, his entire contract from Universal, which also I think is extremely illegal because there's probably some NDAs in there somewhere. And started ranting, you know, trying to get support from other people to his cause. So when Kanye's, of course, that started a whole other conversation about what does Kanye's good music contract look like with his artist?
Yeah.
And while as of now there hasn't been any that contract hasn't leaked yet, people have started to look into the contract that Kanye did have. He did post. What was interesting? Somebody noticed that Jay-Z sold Kanye's masters to Universal, his first six albums to Universal, so that he could get his own masters back. And Kanye owns the masters to his album 7 through 10. So he also, while he was ranting, producer Hit-Boy, who produced Nas's last album, and what was that other album he just did?
He worked on Big Sean's album.
Yeah, so he did 10 records on there. Yeah. He's
been on a streak lately.
Yeah, he admitted or confessed that he was signed to Good Music at 19, and his deal was kind of slaverish, and that Kanye was upset with him for working with Beyonce. I was like, what? Jay-Z and Kanye have the weirdest relationship. I thought they were just like buddy. But now as time goes on, they don't talk. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, that whole thing just sounded stupid to me. Hit-Boy said Kanye was getting 20% off top or whatever he did while underneath Good Music. And he said Kanye was mad that he had worked with Beyonce. Hit-Boy said Kanye told him that to his face, and that's when he stopped rocking with Kanye West as a person. Then Kanye, I guess, had to clear it up because, you know, he doesn't say things the way they are meant to be said.
Yeah.
I'll get into that a little later in this conversation. But Kanye said that he wasn't mad that Hit-Boy worked with Beyonce. He was mad that he was signed. While Hit-Boy was signing him, he worked with Beyonce, and he didn't know anything about it. But he knew Hit-Boy, he knew Beyonce, he knew Jay, so it was all cool. So my whole thing was, why be mad in the first place? If you know all of these people, we know you know Jay and you know Beyonce, so what's the issue? Was the issue that you just, that Hit-Boy didn't run to you and say, hey, Dad, I'm going to go work with Beyonce. Is that what it was? You wanted total control over everything that he was doing? Because that sounds a little slaverish to me.
Yeah, and here's my thing with stuff like that. Okay, on a bigger picture, if I say, like, Black Lives Matter, right? And, you know, most of us agree, well, anybody with common sense or our soul agrees that Black Lives Matter, right? And we have a person of color who is just like, whatever. That's, you know, that's y'all thing, whatever, whatever. Then something bad happens to him. They jump in. Black Lives Matter, too. Don't forget Black Lives Matter. Like, where were you in the beginning? That's my kind of thing with Kanye. Don't turn into Angela Davis now after you spent all this time being the exact opposite. Like, don't do that. When it benefits you, you want to be the champion all of a sudden.
And that's what was pissing me off about Kanye's whole rant. And I blocked dude. I don't even follow him on Twitter, but I blocked him. I muted his name, every abbreviation of his name. Any way that he could pop up on my timeline, I did it. Because I'm tired of seeing him, and I'm tired of seeing people latch on to every single word he says because he's Kanye. No, man. No. It was a whole thing about, well, you know, Kanye should... A producer here, Mason Flint, said Kanye should be more responsible with his platform and what he says and how he says it, and to ensure that he gets his point across. And people wanted to argue against that. No, there's no arguing against that. We saw this man on national television say that slavery was a choice. And then he wanted to double back and tried to clean it up and correct it. No, say what you mean the first time you say it. Or take your medication, get the help that you need so you won't be in these manic states and start just ranting and raving about stuff at your benefit. Because you look like a fool. You're just out here looking like a fool, and I'm just tired of it. I get the man is sick. He's dealing with a mental issue. Cool. Get the help you need, bruh. Because now, like Confucius said, don't come out here and want to be Huey P. Newton when you was looking like Benedict Arnold before. Like, nah, yeah. Like, nah, I'm not rocking with that, bro. Kanye gives me more and more reason every time he tweets why I can no longer support him. Like, I don't care how comfortable his shoes are. I don't care how much of a musical genius he is. That's not me. You only doing this for your benefit. Yeah, he made some points about the music industry and the infrastructure and how that needs to be changed. But this is all being started. It was all started and motivated by your benefit. You want your masters back. And now you out here campaigning for help from people who don't like you. You begging for Drake's cosign on this. Why would Drake and saying Cole and Drake need to publicly apologize? Why? Because from my point of view, everything J. Cole said in that False Prophet song looking like to be true to me.
J. Cole just knew before we did that Kanye was insane.
Yeah, it looked like everything that Drake had a public issue. You think he's going to really? He just said in the song, cut that man song off in his party. I don't want to hear that. You think he's going to publicly apologize to you? Like, come on, man.
I've said it before. Like, you can't public. We can't have a disagreement. You take it public. I'm not going to talk to you about it. Like, so there goes our moment. But like I said, the argument that artists should own their masters is a valid argument.
Very valid.
Granted, some of you artists don't need to own your masters because you wouldn't know what to do with them. But most artists that have sold and been very successful should own their masters. Joe Budden made a good point in his podcast saying that Cash Money should own Universal at this point. As many records as y'all sold, as many artists they put out, they should own Universal. But that's never going to happen because Universal's not going to put them in that position to own it. They're going to keep making them. Say, like Joe Budden said, go out there and make those records. But so there are some artists and a lot of... And Kanye, and to be fair, Kanye should own his masters. For his first six albums, he should own those.
Yeah,
Kanye,
most definitely.
Those albums are classics. Kanye shifted the culture with those albums. He should own them. But don't start trying to run and get everybody to your side after you, like you said, you played Benedict Arnold for so long. And I need to see those good music contracts. Because last time I checked, Big Sean owned his masters. I highly doubt Teyana Taylor owns her masters. Y'all don't even promote her, so I know she owns her masters.
So. I don't think Pusha owns his. Or if he does, he don't own. I don't think he owns anything that was released under Good Music.
No. He might own the Clips Masters with his brother.
His brother,
I don't think. Wait, Jive is doing this.
Jive ain't giving that up. But we had this conversation too. That was one of my unpopular opinions about how black executives, you kind of need to like point the finger at yourself. Like, I want to see a good music contract. Does all those artists who were over there and who are now currently over there own their masters? Like this 07, what is the name? 070 Shake. Does she own her? Does she own her masters? I bet you she don't. Does the designer own his? I bet you he don't own his.
I'd have gave those to him just off GP. Bye.
I'm just like I'm sure. Does Sahi own his?
I mean, consider all he does. I would hope so.
It wouldn't shock me if he didn't. John Legend probably own his.
I don't think John Legend actually signed there anymore. I don't think John Legend been signed there for a while.
He got albums underneath Good Music is what I'm saying. Yeah. So, was he owning masters to those?
John is smart enough to find a way to get his. But, yeah, that's my thing. But like I said, Kanye just goes about it so wrong. He is not wrong in saying that artists need to have more control of their destinies when it comes to record labels. And like you said, I'm glad you brought it up. You did bring up the point at one of your unpopular opinions that sometimes black executives just as bad as the white executives they try to point the fingers at. Like I said, if Jay-Z did sell Kanye's masters so he can get his own back, that's shady.
That's mad shady.
But like I said, their relationship is weird. We really thought they were like BFFs, and come to find out, they really never. I don't think they ever really liked each other.
I don't think. I think it's more. I think Jay and Kanye is like a Brandy and Monica thing. I think like Brandy. I think Brandy has more admiration and think there's more of a relationship and a friendship there than Monica does. Monica's like, yeah, you know, I know you're cool. We talk from time to time, but we ain't cool like that. I think that's Jay. Like,
I'm not inviting you to my house. I'm not.
Yeah, I think that's Jay and Kanye. I think Jay, like, you signed to me. You know, we was cool. We rocked. We made some music together, but like, you're not my best friend. That's Emery. That's what Emery here for.
I think Jay kind of noticed too early on how Kanye is. Like, this is gonna go bad soon. I try to be that person in life. Like, I see where this is kind of going with this person. Let me try to ease on back into the bush like Homer Simpson. But
I think Jay noticed that Kanye was more like Dame than not.
Yeah. And once again, the conversation about ownership, you know, Joe Budden's been talking a lot about it because of the Spotify deal. We talked about it on the last episode of mm-hmm. Breaks. Kanye talking about owners, masters. All these are valid arguments, and it's some truth to all of it. Joe Budden is not wrong in saying, hey, I want my worth for my podcast and my brand and my platform when I'm talking to these companies. Kanye is not wrong in saying that artists should have better deals and should own their masters. They're not wrong. It's just how you go about saying it.
It's not always what's said, but how it's said.
How you say it. And also just I don't the selflessness that is trying to be portrayed is not as selfless as I think it is. On the Kanye end. Joe's different, but Joe is straight up telling you, like, yeah, I want my money. But which is nothing wrong with.
And Joe is saying, if I prosper in this, then it'll change the industry and everybody else will prosper after me pioneering this and doing this. Kanye coming straight out now, I want my masters and I need y'all support. Taylor Swift, give me a retweet. Kendrick, give me a retweet. But that's not, how's that helping Kendrick?
Taylor Swift will never talk to Kanye again in life. I don't know what he's on. Or what I guess he thought he could rope her in because she's going through that whole Masters thing with Scooter Braun.
I think that's what Taylor, that was about.
Taylor, she ain't going to go to you for help. Taylor's never talking to you again. After what they've been through together, there's no way. I'm not even a Taylor Swift fan, but Taylor's not. Once again, you take an issue public, it's over. He sucked Kim on her. Like, nah, Taylor's never talking to you again, bro.
And that's my whole thing with Kanye. Like you said, there's nothing wrong with what he's saying. It's more so how it's being said and how it's being pushed out there. Like, it's this completely selfless act. And it's my whole thing, and I'm just annoyed at everything that he says people latch on to, and like, Kanye can do. Like, he's a saint and he can do no wrong. Now, the brother can do wrong. And I don't want to hear no excuse if these good music contracts come out and he own all these people's publishing. I don't want to hear no backtracking.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. DJ Drama was on Andrew Barber's, who you know runs Fake Short Drive. He was on his podcast and they were asking a series of questions about DJ Drama's career and his current position in the music industry because he owns. He runs the Generation Next label with DJ Don Cannon, which is mm-hmm. has Lil Uzi on it,
and Jack Harlow.
And Jack Harlow, yeah. But the conversation came up about Gangsta Grillz. Gangsta Grillz was DJ Drama's seminal mixtape series. I think they went all the way to 16 before he stopped doing them.
Gangsta Grillz.
That was Lil Jon saying that.
Yeah, I know.
And the history of that and how it started and. The Drama spoke about how, like, the first two Gangsta Grillz you can't basically find because it was like he made them like when he was in college and they don't really, if you find them, they're like a collector's item. He spoke about, different things that went into making those tapes. And Andrew Barber asked him, like, hey, like, what is the Gangsta Grillz that was supposed to happen that didn't from a big artist? And Drama was like, oh, Outkast. He said, like, nonchalantly, it was supposed to be Outkast. He's like, what? He said, what do you mean Outkast? And, I was like, what do you mean Outkast? So apparently before Idlewild, Outkast is a movie. A musical that came out, they had spoke to DJ Drama about doing a mixtape together. It didn't happen, which is par for the course when it comes to Outkast. But they gave him The Art of Storytelling as like a, sorry for not doing the mixtape, but here you go, you can have this song.
That was part four, correct?
Yeah, part four. One and two were on Equipment, three was the one with Slick Rick, and then four is Yeah, because Andrew Barber asked him, like, was that song, like, thrown together? Was that actually, like, an Outkast song? And Drama's like, no, it was an Outkast song. Like, it's actually them. They made the song and gave it to me. He said, it's funny because he said when they gave it to him, like, hey, you want the song? Drama's like, hell yeah, I want it for my album. Like, yeah, I'll take it. So that's a good consolation prize.
I mean, it is. It is. I would have loved to have heard a Outkast Gangsta Grillz
mixtape. What would that sound like? Because it's once again, Gangsta Grillz is a mixtape. There's, you know, the cutbacks, the scratching, the freestyles, the original songs, like the drops. Like, how would that sound?
And I don't think I think it would have sounded different from the way we were accustomed to listening to Outkast, because like you said, it was a mixtape, like you said, the scratching, the cutting, the pullbacks, the drops, the bombs, all of that. But I think it would have turned out dope, and I think it would have, I don't want to say solidified, but I think it really would have showed people how great of rappers Big Boy and Andre are. Together and separately, because I think they would at least, like on most Outkast songs, they have a, on most Outkast albums, they have a song on there, at least one, where it's just them by themselves rapping, and it might be featuring somebody else, but it's their song. I think it would have been that, and it would have been great to hear.
When he said it didn't happen, like, you know, so the Idle Wild soundtrack, we've talked about this before, is a great soundtrack. You have to see the movie to fully appreciate Idle Wild soundtrack.
You do.
Because when the Idle Wild soundtrack came out, a lot of people, you know, throwing little darts, like, oh, this isn't good of an album. You know, this is not the Outkast's best album. I'm like, yo, you have to see the movie to fully understand it, which is the point of a soundtrack. Also, but on that soundtrack is a song called Mighty O, which, I want to say like 10 years ago. This is when I was working at Walgreens when this came out. Vibe magazine, when it was still being published consistently, did an interview with the Dungeon Family, which is the collective of rappers and producers that Outkast came from. And in one of those, during that interview, it was a long interview too. Like, it was the first part came out, it took like the second part like a whole year to come out. And in the second part, they interviewed Big Gip, who was a part of Goody Mob, which was also part of the Dungeon Family. And he said, like, during the time Andre and Big Boy did not like each other. Like, they were getting into it pretty bad. He said, Mighty O, they were dissing each other the entire song.
The entire song. If you listen very closely, they were dissing.
They were throwing shots at each other the entire time. In that same article, they asked Andre and Big Boy about that. And Andre was just like, no, you know, it's the time, you know, I just transitioning and kind of wasn't as involved as I used to be. And Big Boy's kind of like, it is what it is. Big Boy's like, I just hear it today. You know, it is what it is. So, if the Gangsta Grillz was supposed to happen around the Idle Wild time, that might have been around the time they weren't getting along.
So we were discussing it in our group chat with our friend. Oh, well, more so me and O were discussing it. He was like, man, we didn't get that. We supposed to get a mixtape, and we just got the song. And I was like, this was around the Idle Wild time. What you want me to say? Screw Andre? Like,
yeah.
what do you want me to say? Oh, Andre, I'm so pissed at you that you didn't do this. Like, I get it. I understand the context of the time, and like that's when they were rather in contention with each other, and they weren't really meshing. So like, if they had did it, it probably would have been in separate studios. It probably would have been them emailing songs together.
Well, they do that anyway.
I mean, yeah, but it probably would have been a lot of that.
Because I've heard from what of course being the Outkast historian that I am, they stopped recording together after AT Aliens. They got their own studio.
This probably would have felt like you probably could have made the distinction at this point, is what I'm trying to say. Like, you probably could tell they're like, they just not rocking with each other, bro. Like, yeah.
I think that was really when Andre put his foot down. It was like, I'm just not involved in anything musically right now. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, do. Because Andre's smart enough, and Big Boy knows this as well, that when Outkast, when they get together and they do Outkast, it opens up a whole other can of worms that they have to be obligated to do. And so Andre probably realized, like, bro, if we do this, it's going to start, like, people going to start asking when we do shows again. They're going to start asking for an album. And he's like, bro, I'm not trying to do all that. I've told you before, like, I don't want to be bothered.
And he had already had transitioned into acting and wanted to be an actor. And he had Class of 3000 on Cartoon Network. Yeah. That had already happened. Like, I think Andre's mind was focused, like you said, on other things outside of music. And he probably did tell Big Boy, like, nah, bro. Like, I don't want to sit down and do a whole project, whether it be a mixtape or an album. I don't want to sit down and do that, man.
Yeah, and Andre he's at the point now where he's like, I could have the project change my mind. It might seem like a good idea on Thursday, but come Friday, I don't want to be bothered. Which we do. We do, you know. So Big Boy probably was like, oh yeah, let's do it. I'm ready now. I think Big Boy ended up doing something with Drama at some point. I don't know if it's Gangsta Grillz, but I think he ended up doing, like, you know, being on Drama's albums that I can never remember, and
I think he was on some of the other ones that came after the first Gangsta Grills album.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just imagine. Also, I think Drama had to have been smarter to realize, I went to jail for this. I might want to chill out.
You know, I think that's exactly what happened.
Because Drama and Cannon famously got arrested. Their studio got raided by the police for bootlegging CDs, and that was at the RIAA not understanding how mixtapes work. They thought they were in there like pressing up like legitimate CDs and selling like, bro, these are my mixtapes. Mm-hmm. So they because if you
promotional use, and even if you got a physical copy, Smooth said for promotional use only.
Yeah, I had to put that on my mixtapes when I was selling. I remember thinking to myself, like, after the raid happened, I'm like, man, is mixtape game over? And it kind of did slow down after that.
I remember everybody thinking, like, is the mixtape game over? And like you said, it kind of was, and that kind of did, like, shift into this whole weird thing of mixtape becoming albums and being filled with all original music and people saying, oh, no, it's not an album, it's a mixtape, but it's all original music and it was no DJ on it. So I think, like, Drama and Cannon kind of indirectly help usher that in with them being raided.
But that's also what I'm saying. If he had done that, you thought the RIAA came at you behind Jeezy and T.I. mixtapes. You would do an Outkast mixtape and see who comes running.
Jive would have. They had been diamond body.
Jive would have sent in the SWAT team to come shut that down. Because Jive would have been like, we can't even get an album out these guys. You got a whole mixtape? Oh, no. No, we're not doing that.
Jive would have sent ATF in there, kicking in though.
They'd had tanks. Like, bro, Y'all got your door knocked down for some T.I. and Jeezy mixtape. What do you think the record labels would have done for Outkast?
Jive definitely would have tried to like muscle some money out of Drama for that.
We haven't had a legit Outkast album since like 2004. What the heck do you think was going to happen if you did a mixtape with them? Jive would have been like, "What the hell is this? We can't get them in the studio together to do nothing. You got a mixtape?"
And they're giving it away? They would have really been mad at that.
They didn't try to have Drama killed. There's no way. I would have been mad if it had been regular. That's what I'd have turned. I'd have turned into a white executive. Wait a minute.
And also, I mean, like, we're joking about it, but who's to say that Jive didn't step in? Like, who's to say that Jive didn't? True. Somebody at Jive didn't catch wind of that and made their call. It was like, they can't do this. Yeah. No. They can't do this and put this out and it be for free. No, this can't happen. I can believe somebody catching wind of that at Jive and them making a call and to Drama and like, this can't happen. You can't do this. You cannot do this.
Because what was it on Big Boy's, I think, debut album? There were two songs with Andre that got pulled because Jive was like, no. When Big Boy went to Def Jam, Jive was like, "Nah, we're not gonna have an Outkast reunion on another label. That's not happening."
I do remember that. So I can hold that. Like, even now that you bring that up, I can wholeheartedly believe that Jive got wind and made a call. Like, they can't do this. Not for free, they can't.
Like, I hate to play devil's advocate, but I kind of get it. Like,
Outkast, they went diamond. I definitely get it.
I'm saying they're one of the biggest hip hop groups of all time. I'm not letting anybody else make money off them. Like, that's our job. That sounds so bad when you say that loud.
they went diamond and they won album of the year. To be devil's advocate, I get the record executive side of things. I get their side of things. This is the business. This is our business. This is what keeps us running, like, are these types of artists and their catalog and us owning some percentage of their publishing or some percentage of their masters. This is what keeps the lights on at the label.
Yeah.
I get it. I definitely get it. And so I can believe Jive. Drama may not want to say it. Andre will never say it. Andre Big Boy probably will refuse to talk about it. But I can believe Jive made a call and was like, nah, they can't. Those two together putting out a project for free?
No, that ain't happening.
Like, everybody can just download this on the internet?
They probably...
Like, no, y'all can't do
this. They probably told Drama, like, you try it if you want to. You thought it was bad before. You tried.
You will be hit with a cease and desist.
Cease and desist living.
Within the hour.
You'll be cease and desist from living. What are you saying? Thor Ragnarok, I pardon you from life? That's gonna be Drama. They said, I wish you would put it out. I wish you would. Yeah, Jive don't play about Outkast. They're still legally signed there, too, so... I think
look at that.
I think that's partially the reason why they really don't do music. Granted, I do think Andre's kind of over it, but I also think that Andre's like, I'm not going to go back and get
I believe that played a part in it.
He said, I'm not afraid to give Jive that power. Like once
I
again,
I believe they played a part in Andre's frame of thinking, line of thinking.
Like on a smaller scale with me and you, like it's one thing for us to do stuff separately, but when it comes to breaks get involved, it's a whole different set of responsibilities. So it's like, that's why sometimes we're like, hey, we should do this. I'm like, people tell me, hey, you know, the breaks do. I was like,
it's not as easy as you think, as y'all want to make it out to be.
Exactly, because when we start popping up, y'all expect KTX to all be there, and what can we do separately? Like, do you need both of us there? Like, is it fully required? I've had people say, hey, we want DJ a gig, and then Fresh, I said, Fresh, what's Fresh going to do? Fresh don't DJ?
I've been trying to tell people this, man. I'm not a DJ.
Like, I guess.
Talking push buttons.
Like, what are you doing? But yeah, so I get. Like I said, I appreciate it has something to do with Jive threatening drama and Andre being like, nah, if we do this, it's going to open up a whole other can of worms.
So, yeah, and he probably was like, man, I don't want to go on tour.
Yeah. He complained about the reunion tour. And so I kind of get it.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
So, you know, musically, we're in a very interesting place. We talk about all the time the tidal wave of music that comes out every week. And me and you are old enough to remember a time when, like I said, you know, you had one album, good album come out maybe once every other week, or once a month. And you have to buy that album, consume it, listen to it front to back, learn every lyric, every song, find your favorite song, predict the next single. Nowadays, the album comes out. If you don't listen to it in the first 2 days, you move on. I read an article years ago that said your music taste changing is not so much a sign of your taste, it's just a sign of your brain processing power at the time. Because your brain process, it changes over time, right? And how you take in things. That's why every person that gets older starts complaining about the music of the time. Me and you made a joke one time about being huge Will Smith fans in the 90s when he was making Big Willie Style and Men in Black and how those songs made us feel. We talked about, you famously said you and your brother actually wore clothes to the back because of Crisscross. Us being in our 30s, I would listen to that mess. Like if I was 30. But when I was, you know, 5 and 6,
you
couldn't tell me those were musical masterpieces. You couldn't tell me MC Hammer wasn't the greatest thing moving.
Facts. I was up every morning watching the cartoon show.
Which also, side note, like me and you talked about this as well off the mic. A lot of the shows that I watched growing up, I didn't realize that there were so few episodes. I thought it was longer.
For real, it was like one season.
It's like, there's only one season? But granted, they got like 30 episodes out of one season, but yeah, no. Me and my mother were having a discussion about music. My mother does not like any current iteration of rap. None of it. She's not for any of it. She doesn't like Megan Thee Stallion. She doesn't like Migos. I've had to tell her more than once. It's not for you.
For you.
She was talking about these sexually explicit lyrics. Like she talked about, she heard WAP. Don't know how she heard. I said, where'd you hear WAP at? That's how I know the radio here ain't playing it. So where'd you hear that? And so she was complaining about that. She's like, you know, they just started doing that. I said, Mom, female rappers have been talking about sex since like mid-90s. It's not new. And she was saying, I don't remember, you know, lyrics being like that. I said, Mom, you played Doggy Style in the car. Have you heard Doggy Style? Well, I just like the beats. I said, oh, don't do that. Don't try to do that. And she's like, you know, I tell you the story, you know, when I was riding around with my mom, which my grandmother, and she, I guess my mom was in college and playing Between the Sheets by Isley Brothers. My grandmother went on this whole rant and rave. Oh, how could they say that? And this, what did they say again? So I said, but I told mom, I said, that's just a generational thing. Generationally, you're supposed to, your music taste is supposed to change. You're not supposed to like everything. Like, it's very hard for me sometimes to like the rap that comes out nowadays. And it's not because I think it's bad. It's just, I just know it's not for me. Like, certain music, like, I work in, you know, the service industry, so I DJ clubs. A lot of music, I get why the music is being played because it's made for the clubs. But some of them, like, I can't listen to this in the car. Like, I can't do this. Like, it's not for me. A lot of stuff is not for me. And I've always wanted to keep perspective in that. Like, you know, at some point in time, I'm going to be older. And I'm like, yeah, none of this music is for me. But my mother, like a lot of our parents, don't fully. They think like, you know, I think they have the mentality for, you know, if I hear this, I'm supposed to enjoy it.
No.
My mom would be lying to a teacher, said she enjoyed me listening to Will Smith and Crisscross back in the day. She could crack all the jokes she wants to, but I'm pretty sure she would listen to it in the car when I wasn't in there. So yeah.
I totally agree. I've had conversations like that with my mother about music currently today. And my mother loves College Dropout. And I'm saying love, like, she took my College Dropout CD.
Yeah.
Like, she took it from me and started playing it in her car. So, like, she's not the biggest fan of rap. She'll find what she likes. Like, she likes 30-something by Jay-Z, and I'm just like, ugh. that's the Jay-Z song you want to listen to is 30-something? But all right, cool. I get why. It's a much more mature, grown-up Jay-Z, man, talking about black cars and good credit. All right, I get it. We don't have none of those things, but all right, I get it.
Yeah.
But, but my mother had a similar conversation with her about, like, the sexually explicit lyrics, and I had to make her see, like, Love Train is about a booty call. Like, Confunction Smooth was, like, singing about a booty call on Love Train. What are you talking about? No, they went, I was like, do I need to print the lyrics out so you can read them? Like, the man is smooth talking about calling a woman at 2 o'clock in the morning, like, and pleasing her. He says, down on my knees, I want to please you, baby. What do you think he's talking about? You're old enough to know what these things mean.
Yeah.
So, I get a little irritated and annoyed at that critique. And I think, like, one of my aunts, they heard The Weeknd by SZA and tried to, once again, like you said, where did you hear this song at? Because I know you're not listening to the radio like that. But they tried to critique that, and I was like, this is no different from My Saturday Love by Sherelle and Alexander O'Neal. Like, what's the difference?
My mother made the point of, like, cause I tried to talk, had that same conversation, but, you know, they weren't as open about, like, it wasn't as obvious. Like, you know, there are songs nowadays where, you know, like, songs back then, they'll say, like, Between the Sheets. You're like, oh, we're making love between the sheets. You know, nowadays you have songs just straight up like, yeah, we're having sex. So, Grant, once again, it's not, like you said, where are you hearing these songs at? Because I know you don't, you have to be searching these out. Like, I'm not going to find, Megan, right? They play Megan on the radio, but like Megan has some songs that are kind of, but like her like deep cuts where she's really like talking like really, really nasty. Like, you gotta stream that. My mom ain't got no streaming service. Like, where you hearing these songs at, mom?
Who are you hanging around?
She's watching CNN or MSNBC and they're mentioning it in passing. And she's like, she's on social media and she scrolls through it and see like, where you hearing these songs at? That's my mom don't follow Megan, so I don't know what you're hearing it at.
I don't know where they're hearing it. Well, my mother has satellite radio, so she be exploring it. And I'll just be like, man, you just need to stay on the oldie station.
I'm saying stay on the oldies.
I don't know why you're trying to venture off and be cool now. Stop it. But no,
stop chasing waterfalls. Stay over there.
But I have learned to, as I've got older, I have learned to appreciate the music for what it is. Like you said, it's not for a lot of this music coming out these days, it's just not made for me. I've had this argument all the time with my brother. I was like, I want to hear certain music when I'm in a certain space. If I'm out at a club, or if I'm in a strip club, or if I'm out at a bar, yeah, I want to hear certain music. I don't want to hear Rakim. I don't want to hear Wu-Tang. Sorry, great music, but I don't want to hear them while I'm out at a strip club. I don't want to hear Can It All Be So Simple by Wu-Tang while I'm tipping a young lady. No, I don't want to hear that. The music is not made for that arena. So, yeah, give me some Young Dolph. Like, that's the arena that it's made for. And I think once you reach a certain age and you keep that into perspective, like, you'll appreciate what you appreciate and you'll ignore everything else. Like, you don't got to put all this energy in the stuff that you don't like. That's one thing I just don't understand.
Yeah, I know. I could complain about music. That's just the times, but it's a lot of stuff is not for me.
And some people are just prude. I just believe some people are just prudes.
Yeah, prude. My mom, like I said, I told my mom, I said, you know, we all become the people. We all become our parents at some point. You'll get to that point. I just told my mom, I said, mom, just stop. Like, you know, once again, you play doggy style around me. I like the beats. Oh, whatever. Whatever. You know, you did.
And like I have, like, my aunt and uncle who, like, really introduced us to rap, who had Doggy Style and Spice One. Like, I hear them sometimes complain about the music, and I just be like, but y'all had Scarface bumping, like, in the crib when we would come. Like, y'all had, like, Scarface. Like, have you ever listened to a Scarface album? Like, y'all had Scarface bumping. Like, y'all had Master P playing. Like, And I'm talking like Ice Cream Master P, not Nickelodeon Master P.
Yeah, no, my brother like, had Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me, that album. I remember seeing the cover. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, like I was like, y'all had Doggy Style playing and like y'all were rocking with Snoop and Death Row and Corrupt and Tupac. I'm trying to figure out like what's the difference here. Like I get it, I guess, because like you said, they got older and they just the taste changed and the way they process the music, it just changed. And I guess once you have kids as well, things change. That comes into perspective. I accept a lot because unlike my older brother, I don't listen to the music and just be thinking, man, one of these young punks out here gonna be trying to do all of this to my little girl. Well, I mean, I don't have to think about that because that's not my mind frame.
Oh man, see, come on, man.
My also thing is you don't have to go that deep thought into the music because you're still going to probably, like, you could probably still find a lot worse to listen to without having the sexually explicit lyrics. We listen to all the drug dealing music. What's the difference?
And it goes back to my opening statement about how we consume music nowadays. It's a lot easier to find what you like and stick with it with streaming, YouTube. Like I said, back in the day, you kind of had to, you know, like you, okay, let's say Usher came out, right? You're like, okay, there's no really good rap albums coming out for like another month or so. So I'm going to be stuck with Usher for like the next month or so. I can't, and the radio's not going to really play the songs I want to hear. So I'm just kind of let me just stick with what I have so far, what I've already bought, or what my friends have. I can listen to that. Now with streaming, you can, if my mom wanted to listen to Earth, Wind & Fire all day, she can listen to Earth, Wind & Fire all day. She ain't got to pick up those CDs. She ain't got to get the TV Guide channel and wait for those infomercials at night. Like, you can listen to Earth, Wind & Fire all day. You know what I'm saying?
It's playlists with them on there. You can listen to the entire original catalog, several greatest hits albums.
Exactly. You can make up, like I said, you can make a playlist. If you find music you don't like, that's your fault. Because you can easily avoid it nowadays. Like, I remember, once again, this is going to show my age, but I remember we listened to the radio and waiting for the song you liked to come on. Come on.
Boy, I remember listening to the radio and waiting for the song that I liked to come on and having a blank tape ready to record it.
Like, come on now. So, if you're complaining about music, I said, you're looking for it or you're doing too much. Get off Instagram.
Like I said, I just told my mother, you gotta stick with those three stations you listening to. Let's stick with the R&B station and the two oldie stations you listen to on your satellite radio, and you good, you set for life right there. That's all you want to hear anyway is 90s Mary J. Blige and some oldies.
Like, it's funny the difference between my parents, because my dad, I'm pretty sure if I text him, it was like, hey, you ever heard of Megan Stout? He'd be like, who? My dad don't know who that is. But my mom just happened, come back to my mom be on social media and be seeing little things. And
I know my dad don't know who Megan Stout is.
He'd be like, who? Megan who? Did I go to school with her? No. Like, no.
My dad is the perfect example of you can listen to what you want to listen to, because if you get in his car, 9 times out of 10, it's some R&B playing. Don't care what era it's from, it's some R&B. And more than likely, it's going to be Keith Sweat.
Your dad don't love himself.
Yeah, my dad ain't even never know. That's another topic for another day.
I'm about to say it. And now it's time for our first segment of the night, Unpopular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
Thank you, my good man. My unpopular opinion is simply, Austin Radio is more than likely in the best place that it has been in years. And it is an unpopular opinion because, as I just said, me and Confucius have come on here on several times frequently saying how people feel about Austin Radio. I think we talked about it earlier, and I want to say we touched on it last week or the week before that. It was earlier on. So, with things that we talked about earlier, like Confucius is now on Sundays at 2 to 6. I'm on Saturday morning, 10 to 2. And then the breaks are on at 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Like, we have literally taken over the weekend. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I really don't. I don't care what any other station is doing, what anybody else at any other station is doing. It's not a knock against them. But for us to single-handedly kind of have been gifted the weekend by KUTX, like, that's big, that's huge, and people enjoy what we do and they enjoy what we play. So Austin Radio is in a good, in my mind, Austin Radio is in a good space where you have two individuals like myself and Confucius who put together an event like Summer Jam, who does an event during South by, the only official event backed by a major radio station in this city. It wasn't done before, and if we quit doing it, it probably won't be done since. It probably won't be done afterwards. Like, that's big. That's huge. That's great. Everybody's excited for South by South Breaks when South by rolls around. They were excited this past year. We just didn't get to have it. Hopefully, we get to have it in 2021. But we do Love Lockdown. Love Lockdown is great. If you weren't at this year's Love Lockdown, you missed a heck of a show. Like, Stubbs was packed out. Now, I'm not the numbers guy, so I can't tell you if we sold it out. But it was packed out. It was people all upstairs that were enjoying the show. People all downstairs that were enjoying the show. Like, I'm going to say it. We have single-handedly changed the trajectory of Austin Radio here in this city. Like, y'all weren't caring about it before, but now people seem to care about it. And we're on the number one radio station in the city. And people who feel like radio won't do anything for your career, I just think you're wrong. Because if you ask those artists who have performed at a Summer Jam or at a Love Lockdown or at a South by South Breaks or who are played on our show or play when I play them on Friday or whenever Confucius or play them when Confucius plays them on Sunday, like when you hear the way that they feel and see the emotion that they exude when they hear their song on the radio, you can't tell me that we don't do anything for an artist and their career. You can't tell. Jake Lloyd got on Twitter and publicly thanked the Breaks for helping him with his career and the push he's gotten in the past few years in his career. So don't sit and tell me that we don't make a difference, that radio can't make a difference, because we do, and we have, and we will continue to do so. Now, if you don't want to be on the radio, that's a thing that you got to deal with yourself. That's cool. Yes, we have the internet right here at our fingertips, and there's so many opportunities and possibilities with the internet. But a lot of y'all don't know how to work the internet. Let's just keep it honest. A lot of y'all think just throwing your music on SoundCloud and tweeting out the link is going to get you discovered, and it's not. And trust me, a lot of y'all want to be signed, y'all act like y'all don't want to be signed, y'all act like y'all going to be the next Chance the Rapper, and more than likely you won't. But if you want that notoriety and you want, the world is big on analytics, radio play helps. Trust me, it helps with that. The consistency in which you get played, it helps. It looks nice. It looks good. And if you don't think it does, once again, that's a you thing. That's something that you have to deal with within yourself, and that's how you rock it. That's how you rock it. But don't diminish the work put in by others by simply saying that radio sucks. Especially when you don't listen to the radio. Like, it's not even something you listen to and you critiquing it and have an opinion about it. You were thinking of the way things were before. It's a new day and age, and it's two new sheriffs in town. So, that's my unpopular opinion. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the show where we get a little bit more guidance than we had last week. Here is Confucius Jones. Here's Confucius Jones with Confucius Says.
Oh,
I normally say that. I normally say that the other way around.
It's all good. So, you know, I've lived an interesting life. Met a lot of people. I've developed a lot of relationships with people on some, like, early contention. You know, if anybody knows the story of the Breaks, which shout out to Austin Monthly. They interviewed us the other day. And the guy, I forgot his name. I think it was Trey. He came in with already knowing, like, oh, I know how you and Fresh met. And then I said, thank you, because we get asked the same question all the time. How did y'all meet?
I didn't get that when I talked to him, but I was glad that that wasn't a question.
Yeah. Because that's all. I was like, we want to interview about this. But it's been most of the interview just recapping the history at the beginning of the Breaks. But so, like I said, I meet people from contention. Like, me and Fresh, you know, we argued. And then now with the Breaks, years later. Somebody else I was thinking about, I met them arguing and then we became friends. But there are some people I've met in my life that it started from a good place, became contention, and it stayed in contention. this is where my Confucius Says kicks in. So, you know, in life you do meet people, and sometimes you get along with them, sometimes you don't. And when you, sometimes you don't get along with people, you go your separate ways. You don't talk anymore. And you just move on with life generally. I have people that I've experienced in my life that I don't deal with, don't talk to, who still like to talk about me. And they won't stop doing it.
I knew where this is going.
Yeah, you know where this is going. Which I don't fully understand. As a person, it's understandable that you might not like somebody. There's people that we've met that we don't talk to or see that we just don't like. Where the problem comes in is when you let that person remain rent-free inside your head, even though they don't care about you. Like I said, I can, let's say me and Fresh fell out and never talked. I could say like, hey man, Fresh, I don't like him as a person. What I'm not going to sit around and do is talk about him, tweet about him, post about him, knowing that I don't talk to him. It looks weird. You look like a psycho. You, especially people that have entire families, entire relationships, keep bringing me up and talking about me. It's weird. It's weird. There are, now, this is not even solely based on just one person. I have pretty sure multiple people who throw shots at me or feel a way towards me. But I would like to assume they don't think about me as much as certain people either. It's just weird. Like, you know, in life, if you don't get along with somebody, that is perfectly fine. But like my Confucius says, is just don't let them linger in your head rent-free like that. It's, you know, just move on. Just do what you got to do. Like, it helps you grow and enjoy life a little bit better. Because if, once again, if I don't like you, I don't care about you. I'm not gonna, there's nothing else to talk about. Like, just nothing else to talk about. And don't be reaching out to Fresh, trying to, you know, but no, just let it go. Just that's my Confucius says. Just let go and let God. That's my Confucius says. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.